studio. I mean, they're thinking this is probably going to be the highest grossing movie ever. And one of the things that has been popping up are people are doing summaries of everything that's happened in the last 10 years. And they do these things called Easter eggs in movies. And what that is, it's not about going and finding, you know, eggs with candy inside. But inside the movies, they put little hints. And they put foreshadowings of things that are going to come up later. And so it's so amazing to think about over a 10-year period, they've been doing this. And so all week long, they've been having people making little short clips and videos about all the Easter eggs or all the things that have been foreshadowing this movie for the last 10 years. And I started thinking, man, I can't even sometimes plan my next 10 hours. How did they plan 10 years worth? You know? But it made me really think about just the beauty of it, right? The beauty of when you've been watching a series of movies or when you've been reading a book. And you go, you have an aha moment. And you say, oh, I remember this from book 3, right, in the Harry Potter series. Or I remember this from the second movie. And they make reference, and it just is like, wow, I didn't know that was connected. But the beautiful thing is, you know, while they can plan 10 years, and we may not be able to plan 10 weeks or 10 days, our God has been planning things for 10 millennia. For 10 eons. Since before time began, God has been planning some amazing things that he wants to do. And so today what I want to talk about is how there's a verse in Hebrews that says, the law is a shadow of things to come. Basically, a lot of things in the Old Testament, a lot of things that you read about in the law of Moses, in the Torah, are foreshadowing about Jesus. If you didn't know it, the whole Bible, the whole book, the whole plan is about Jesus. It's about God wanting to have a relationship with us. And that is only possible through Jesus. So bear with me today. We're going to have a PowerPoint, but our screen's not working, so you'll just have to sort of bear with me today. But I want to talk about some connections and some foreshadowings of Jesus Christ. We're going to look at some interesting Old Testament and New Testament parallels about Christ. So over in John chapter 1, starting in verse 1, it says this. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. All things were created through him. And apart from him, not one thing was created that has been created. In him was life. And that life was the light of men. That light shines in the darkness, and yet the darkness did not overcome it. So here we've got John, the Apostle John, writing, and he starts his book out, he starts his gospel out with, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And so this is referenced in another place in the Bible. So what Carly's going to do is, are there any Kids Rock kids in here? Anybody in grades K through 5 in here? All right? All right? The question I've got for you, what other book in the Bible, or what other place in the Bible, starts with in the beginning? Raise your hand if you know. If you're in kindergarten through fifth grade, what other book of the Bible starts with in the beginning?
Okay, you're closest to me, so I'll go to you. Are you in? Okay.
Name and grade, please.
Genesis.
What's your name and grade?
Samantha, in the fifth.
And the answer is?
Genesis.
Woo, it's Genesis. All right.
Here you go. You get some candy.
So, in the vein of spring break, I've got some treats. I want her to be able to take a break, take a snack break. I'm going to give her a Kit Kat. You remember that song? Right? Give me a break. Give me a break. Break me off a piece of that. All right. So she gets a prize. She gets a treat that'll help her this week. But yes, what John is doing in his gospel is making a reference back to Genesis. Because during the time of Jesus, you know, years after some of the Gospels had been written and people were out spreading the news about Jesus, a lot of people, this group called the Gnostics, they started wondering or believing, well, did Jesus really come in the flesh? And was Jesus just a man? Was Jesus just a good prophet? Was he really God's son? And so the point of John writing his gospel was to say, you know what? He's the Word. He's eternal. He's always been around. And a matter of fact, he came in the flesh. Down in verse 14, it says, he came in the flesh and dwelt among us. And so he was making reference back to creation. One foreshadowing or one thing that we're looking at here is Jesus was there in creation. It makes reference to some of the same elements, to a word being spoken. And after that word was spoken, there went from darkness to light. And so John is making reference to all of these things and letting us know, hey, again, this is all about Jesus. My point number one today is God created the world and God created you. God created the world and God created you. He knows the world. He knows how it works. He knows you. He knows how you work. He knows what you need. Not only that, but living proof of the fact that he cares about you and he loves you is the fact that he sent his son to not only come talk to us about who God is, but to show us who God is. And so he knows what it's like to see everything, to know everything, but he also knows what it's like to be here and to be with us. So those of you know, I've got two daughters. One's 14, Chloe, and you know, just in the fact of me saying she's 14, that carries some implications with it, right? You know, I've got a 14-year-old girl, and it was really cool. This past weekend, I took her on her first driving lesson. You know, we came to an empty parking lot, and, you know, and she didn't know I was going to do this, and we come up to the parking lot, and I park, and I say, hey, all right, so we're going to switch seats, and you're going to drive now. And she goes, oh, my God, are you serious? And she's like, are you serious? And I told her, I said, all right, Chloe, but I need you to be calm and to be patient. So a couple months ago, we went up to the Dixon's farm, and she had a chance to drive on the go-kart. And as we're driving on the go-kart, she was just cackling and laughing, and we almost ran off the road because she was just so excited to be able to drive. And so I said, Chloe, you can't be cackling and laughing. This is a serious car, okay? I need you to take it serious. And so, you know, we get in the car, and we drive around the parking lot, and I'm showing her how to, and you know, I'm telling her different things to do, and she did a great job. And so we had a really great just father and daughter bonding time with me teaching her how to drive. And I was thinking, man, this is my kid. Whether or not she learns how to drive or not does not affect my love for her. Right? I love her. And so we had this great moment. Then the next day, right before they're about to go out of town, her and I kind of get into a disagreement about something. And she gets really upset with me. And she basically says, you know, you just don't understand me. You just don't understand. Without even realizing it, she's referencing this old Will Smith song, right? Parents just don't understand, you know? And she's like, yeah, you guys were in middle school, but that was 20 years ago. Yeah, oh boy. And she says, you just don't understand. And I think a lot of times with God, we can sort of feel the same way. We can have these great times and these great moments. But then when we go through something difficult, it's like, God, you just don't understand. Do you really care? Do you really love me? Can you understand what I'm going through? But the answer is, because of Jesus, absolutely yes. Because he came here. He lived here. He experienced it. He knows what it's like to have to wake up early in the morning. Jesus knows what it's like to work a full day and to get up early the next day and people are wanting you, right? If you're a parent, you know. Staying up all night and you get up the next morning, can I get breakfast? Can I have pancakes? Can I have grits? You know, Jesus understands us. So grateful for just a team of people I have. I had, being honest, full transparency, I had just a very rough week. Just went through a lot of stuff. And those that are in the know that it was just not a fun week for me. But I was so grateful for the leadership team and just the support and love those guys have for me. So grateful for my wife. Just loving and supporting me, you know. Well, right now she's enjoying, you know, the beach up in Myrtle Beach without me. But she's been so great for me this week. But really, what helped settle me down. Last night I got my Bible and I was home alone, and so I said, I'm just gonna read one of the Gospels. And so I opened up Luke and I just started reading. I read the first 12 chapters, just straight through, and I was like, man, I love Jesus. Like, he is just such a cool guy. Like, he just loves people. And if you read the Gospel of John, you realize how committed Jesus is to prayer. Why does God need to be committed to prayer? But Jesus was so committed to prayer because he wanted to show us what we need to be like. And I was just so moved just reading about how many people he healed and how much compassion he had for people. And so point number one, the question is, do we believe that God created us, that God knows us, and God cares for us? And if you don't, just read a gospel. I read the first 12 chapters last night. Tonight, I'm reading the second 12 chapters of Luke because I just was so moved and blown away with about how much, just understanding how much God loves me. When you understand how much God cares for you, it will change your life. Think about this. You get on a plane, and maybe some of us are nervous about flying, but for the most part, you put in your earbuds or get your book, and you relax. You don't know the pilot, but you relax. You go on a cruise, you get on a ship. You know, you get your little Bahama breeze or whatever it is you get, and you go to the casino, and you hang out with people, you get on the ship, and you relax. You don't know the captain, and you relax. You get on a bus or you get in your Uber. You don't know the driver, but you sit back and relax. You don't know any of those people, and yet you relax considering that they have control of the situation. Now, if you're a disciple of Jesus today, you do know God, but do you relax understanding that he has control of your life? Because when you understand that he created you, he knows how you work. And on the top of that, he didn't just create us and step back, but he cares for you. It should lead you to be able to say, God's got this. God's got it. Point number one is that God created you, he knows you, and he cares for you. God is in control. Second foreshadowing. So in the New Testament, right, we have this thing called baptism. Right? We go down in the waters of baptism, we get our sins forgiven, we get them washed away, and we get new life in Christ. And so my second question of foreshadowing, this is going to be for Edge or Gravity. There are two references. So if you're an Edge or Gravity, I want you to think about, what are two things in the Old Testament that God used that are kind of similar to baptism? So think about it for a minute. If you're Edge or Gravity, raise your hand. I'll give you a hint. Two big things that happened in the Old Testament that have to do with water. All right, Carly.
Did anyone want to take a guess?
Don't be scared.
Okay.
Avery. All right, Avery.
Hey, don't give it away. Name and grade, please.
Avery Snyder, grade 12.
Yeah. Into the mic.
Noah's flood.
There we go. All right. Noah's flood. That's one thing. Yes, that's absolutely one thing. All right. Give him a Kit Kat. He needs a break. He's going to need a break this summer. You know, his mom, they've got a bunch of kids. And, that pantry, he's going to be raiding it all week long. He needs a break. All right. So Noah's flood is one thing. All right. So he's in Edge. What about somebody from Gravity? What's another big thing in the Old Testament that had to deal with water? And God, I'll give you a little hint. He saved some people. They walked basically through water. And on the other side of water, they got saved. Somebody in gravity. They walked through water. There was water on both sides of them.
Right.
what color was the water?
Name, grade, and then the answer.
I'm David, and I'm in sixth grade. When Moses parted the Red Sea.
There we go! All right. All right.
Here's your Kit
Kat. Absolutely. Give him a Kit Kat. He's going to need a break this week. He's using that big brain to think about these relationships. But yes, so two things that God used to sort of foreshadow, and there are a lot of them, but two things that God specifically used to foreshadow baptism were Noah's flood and the Exodus. Over in 1 Corinthians 10, it says this. For I do not want you to be ignorant of the fact, brothers and sisters, that our ancestors were all under the cloud and that they all passed through the sea. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And so the analogy that Paul is making here is that they went through the water. They had water on both sides, and then they had the cloud over them. And so they went figuratively through water. And what were they leaving? They were leaving Egypt. They were leaving slavery, right? Which represented sin. And then when they got through on the other side, the waters collapsed and the Egyptians all drowned in the sea. They left their sins, so to speak, behind. They left slavery in the water. And so the same thing happens when we get baptized into Christ. We leave our sins in the water, the same way the Egyptians were washed away. And so they were following Moses' leadership and came under sort of the lead of Moses being the prophet. We do the same thing. We're following Jesus' leadership and submitting to following his rule when we get in the waters. When you think about Noah's flood, it says this in 1 Peter, when God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built, in it, only a few people, eight in all, were saved through water. And this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also. Not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a clear conscience towards God. It saves you by the resurrection of Christ. And so what the analogy that Peter's making here is, the world was wicked. The world was full of sin. And that needed to be washed away. So what did God do? He submerged the earth underwater and started over. The same thing happens to us when we get in those waters. We get to start over. These were foreshadowings of Jesus millennia before they occurred. And so point number two is that God wants to save you. Not only did he create you, not only does he know you, but he wants to save you. He wants to have a relationship with you. He will go to great lengths to have a relationship with you. You think about what happened with the Egyptians. The plagues, right? God put all the plagues on the Egyptians. And that probably built the Israelites' faith. They finally left. They started marching towards the sea. It's sort of like their repentance, right? They turned from what they were doing. And then they go through the Red Sea, and that was sort of their baptism. It's the same for us today. We have faith in Jesus, we repent, and we get baptized, and we come into a relationship with Jesus. You know, it's so interesting. This past Friday, Carly and Kenson and Deidre and I had the opportunity to go to this prayer breakfast. There was a man that came to church about a month ago or so, and I think he talked to Manny and Roger, and he gave them his card and said, "Hey, I'm the corporate chaplain for this company, and we'd like for your minister to come and do a devotional for our company." And so I went this past Friday, and I had no idea what to expect. I mean, I was like, are there going to be five people in here? Are there going to be 500? I mean, I really didn't know what to expect. And it was just an amazing time just being able to share the gospel with these people and eat some good food. Okay, they're a restaurant business. They own several restaurants, so they had it catered really well. But it was so cool. I walked in, and pretty much everybody in there was Latino, was Spanish-speaking. And honestly, I think they were more impressed with my ability to speak Spanish than they were with my lesson. You know, but it was just such a great time. I had a chance to talk with the CEO, and he said, you know, some years ago, we just had a rash of suicides and people having mental breakdowns and just a lot of problems. And we realized we've got to do something about this. And so they created this thing called the Care Team. And so the Care Team's job is to plan social events for the company, to be able to give their employees access to mental health care if they need it. But also one of the things they decided to do was the fourth Friday of every month, they have a preacher come in and do a devotional. And so I just thought, man, look, God is going to great lengths in a company in corporate America, getting to come in and preach the gospel. And it's not just a one-off. Kenson got invited, you know, last fall. The same thing. There's a company, a financial firm in downtown Atlanta, that once a quarter, they have a teleconference with people all over the world at this company. And they invite a preacher in from a church, and you get to just do a lesson. Kenson got to just go share the gospel. And as a matter of fact, on Thursday, they called him and said, "We want you to come back." After we were done on Friday, the CEO said, "Hey, we're going to have you back." And this company is right here in Duluth. It's like God is going to great lengths to save people. It was so encouraging and so amazing being down there with Charles and Alma and just remembering all the things that God did for me to get me to him. What about you? I want you to think about the great lengths that God did to save you, to have you in this room. Last point. This one's for the adults, Carly. Need an adult here. All right? Communion. We're about to take it in a moment. So communion has a foreshadow in the Old Testament. Right? So think about it for a second. If you're an adult, what is something in the Old Testament that was sort of foreshadowing or a prefigure of communion? There's a Kit Kat here at stake, so raise your hand quickly. Byron. We're going to see.
Name and age.
Byron, and I'm holding at 25.
It's a meal.
It's going to be shameful if I'm wrong. I believe it is when the angel passed over during the plagues.
During the, yes, absolutely, the Passover. I give him applause. All right.
Yeah.
So yeah, absolutely, Passover. What happened there is God went and Moses told the Israelites, I want you to prepare this meal. You're going to sacrifice this lamb. And you're going to take some of the blood and you're going to put it on your doorposts. And then the angel of the Lord is going to pass over your household. And it's going to destroy the firstborn sons of all the houses that don't have this on their doorpost. And look at what God said about this over in Exodus. Chapter 12, he says, it is the Lord's Passover. I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night and strike every firstborn male in the land of Egypt, both people and animals. I am the Lord. I will execute judgments against all the gods of Egypt. The blood on the house where you are staying will be a distinguishing mark for you. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. No plague will be among you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. This day is to be a memorial for you, and you must celebrate it as a festival of the Lord. You are to celebrate it through your generations as a permanent statute. And so there was this remembrance meal that they would do every year to remember what God had done for them. The final point today is God wants you to remember what he's done for you. So in a moment, we're about to take communion. We're going to go to the tables, right? And so before we do, listen to what Jesus said in Luke chapter 22. Tying these together. When the hour came, he reclined at the table and the apostles with him. Then he said to them, I have fervently desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he said, take this and share it among yourselves. For I tell you, from now on, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, gave it to them and said, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he also took the cup after supper and said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. So the Passover was this yearly meal to commemorate, to celebrate when God spared them. The communion is this weekly meal where we commemorate, where we celebrate, where we remember that Jesus' body was broken for us. That his blood, just like the blood that was put on the doorframe, his blood was put on the cross and poured out for us. And that he was the Lamb of God that was sacrificed for the sins of the world. And so today as we take the communion, I want you to think about the fact that God created you and he knows you. He knows what you're going through. Hebrews says, he is a priest that is not unable to sympathize with our weaknesses because he was tempted in every way. He knows what you're going through, and he cares about you. Secondly, he wants to save you. He wants to take you through the wilderness. He wants to take you through the desert. He wants to take you out of Egypt. And finally, he wants you to remember. He wants you to remember all the things that he's done for you. But in particular, remember the Lamb of God that was sacrificed and his blood was put on some wood in the same way that the blood of the lamb was put on the wood of those doorposts. So let's remember that today as we celebrate this meal together, this bread and this fruit of the vine, remembering what Jesus did for us. Let's pray. Father, thank you.